Hey everyone, I realized that I didn't introduce this episode to everyone, but I would like to welcome you to our usual safe space. I am happy you're here for another one, and I'm very grateful that you're taking your time to just listen to what I have to say. I need you to understand that I'm at a point in my life where I'm no longer planning for these things, and I'm no longer trying to, you know, create this image of preparedness and all that. I just wanted to be genuine, and you'll soon realize that as I was talking in this episode, I was just doing my usual confession of fantasies, or like adding on to my collection of fantasies, and it soon just became an entire episode. So it feels like, you know, when you intrude a certain scene in a book and you feel like you're not supposed to be listening to what other people are saying when you're reading, is the atmosphere that I've sort of created. The things that I'm saying here will not make any sense because it feels like it was just a monologue to myself, and then it became engaging. So it's gonna be a lot. So I suggest that as you're listening to this, find a, I don't know, just create that vibe where you're calm and collected and just waiting to listen to someone just talk. And I know that there are a lot of people like me who love listening to other people talk, and I don't enjoy listening to myself talk, but I know that I enjoy listening to other people talk. I just said some random things, but please, disclaimer, I'm going to be talking about partners and relationships and stuff. So if talking about that makes you uncomfortable, then, you know, it's okay, you can sit this one out and not listen, but I'm just talking about my experience and fantasies and coming to terms with the fact that you're human and you have to accept that sometimes you dream and that's okay. So I hope you have a great day, and I hope that everything you want comes to you and manifest. It's gonna be okay. Enjoy this one.
This fantasy I just had for like 5 seconds. So I am a very negative person. I'm not optimistic, I'm very pessimistic, and I just can't take shit. And some of the shit that I can't take is just people having genuine feelings, and I'm like, why are you feeling like this? Get over it, like, move on, right? And I hate that about myself, but it's one of those things where I'm a person who's very realistic, and I can't keep you at a standard where, you know, you're being emotional. Basically, I'm not an emotional person when it comes to me interacting with people. So I just had a thought, like, I'm watching this series that I'm really having a hard time because it's a romantic series, and it's supposed to be engaging and telling of feelings, and I'm like, bro, just grow the fuck up. And I, in my head, I was like, my boyfriend would be like, be nice, and I'd be like, nah, okay, I'm not being mean, I'm just saying. And then he'll be like, and then I'll turn and look at him, smile at all the romantic scenes while I just cringe to death, and he would be my interpreter, or his reactions would be how I would understand how exactly I'm supposed to take in the scene. Like, if I see him smiling and giggling, I know that he's enjoying this scene and it's very sentimental to him. Then I would take it in and be emotionally connected to that scene because it reminds me of him. Like, I genuinely cannot wait to have that experience with someone, to be utterly honest with myself and my personality, and him having to teach me that I don't have to hate that about myself. I don't have to hate that I'm pessimistic. And him saying that he is very much open to being that optimistic side of myself. so that I can watch and learn that from him. And, you know, the whole, oh, I brought you flowers in my head. I'm like, why would you do that? You know, it's a nice idea, but don't do that ever again. And then him being like, I want to do that for you because it's very romantic. And I know you're smiling right now. Just take the goddamn flowers. And then I'll just take the flowers and smile because I know it's making him happy. And because of my whole dom, pleasure dom thing, I can't. For those who might have not understood what I mean by pleasure dom, which is a sexual term, I think, but in this context, I didn't mean it in a sexual way. I meant it in a, I don't like being on the receiving end of a relationship. I am a giver. Like, one of my love languages is gift giving, and I get joy, especially in friendships or like in relationships, by seeing how my actions affect people. I don't like it reversed and me being on the receiving end where I'm accepting gifts. It makes me uncomfortable. So I'd rather give my partners like gifts and shit so that I understand, you know, the whole, oh yeah. I don't know if that makes sense, but I am just a giver. I don't like receiving stuff. Translate emotion and him having to be like, this, if this feels good, then that's all there is, you know. I want that, like, I don't know. I want someone who's gonna genuinely laugh and just enjoy being by my side whilst enjoying themselves alone, you know. I don't want to feel like I'm a burden, and also I don't want to be perceived or seen as taking part of something. And him assuring me that the secrecy of my fantasy is secured, and I don't have to be ashamed of wanting him or desiring him or wanting to learn more about him or to share experiences with him. I want someone who's going to be ecstatic about receiving my text or replying to my text, and if he can't find any responses to what I'm saying, he can call and tell me that, oh, no, it's not, because what you're saying isn't making sense. I just can't respond to it because often things that I want to talk about are arguments, and arguments that I know don't have a, what is it called? Arguments that I know don't have a true answer, and it's good to just talk about it and just end the conversation way it's between the both of us, and no outside influence knows where exactly our conversation has ended. It's just intimate between me and you to know that our answer is between the both of us. And on that person was like so invested in romance. Like, honestly, I can't stop fantasizing about a guy who writes romance books, which is so weird for me because I can't for the life of me read romance novels. It's so hard, and I don't want to make that my personality, but I cringe so, so bad. And I want a person who writes it. Not that I want to read what he wrote, but who writes it in general. Like, there's this book I once read. no, it wasn't a book. I think it was like a video on YouTube. No, it's definitely a book about this couple. No, it's a series. This couple, the guy writes. Oh, it's the American something something housewife. Where the wife has never read any of her husband's books, and he's okay with it and stuff. And I know how insufferable it would be for me to read a romance book that's written by my partner, but I want to try. The fact that I am willing to try it, to me, is a huge deal. And I don't want to be like, I'm only gonna read romance books if they're written by my partner. I don't want to do myself like that. I just want that person who's always seeing, not positive, but romantic things in life, or things that I don't necessarily see, and I don't want those books to be about me. Any idea or topic is okay with me. I just want a person who's not as dark as me in terms of writing and in terms of what I think and what I want to talk about and what I read about. I want a person who's completely different from me. Not that it's a fantasy that's far from reality. It's already happening now. Like, my previous partners have always been very different from me, basically on the opposite of the spectrum. And I take delight in that, but also I want someone who's not really fighting to have compatibility between the both of us. I want just someone who likes that we're polar opposites, I guess, and just to be the person who reads essays and who checks grammar, who is given tea to, like, at night, who is called every second they feel I'm uncomfortable with a certain topic, or I call whenever I'm like, shit, I just want to hear you talk and just narrate everything about your day. Like, I want someone I want, like, who I truly and deeply just want to spiritually connect with them. Someone who I won't exhaust my time trying to translate what I mean, and them having to be like, you're so weird, I can't understand you, why do you always talk like this, why do you always complicate things. I want someone who truly just appreciates everything as is and isn't trying to change the narrative into something they understand. I don't want to be someone's subject or problem to solve. I just want to be a person with very complicated emotions, but not complicated enough not to love, you know. And I know, like, my fantasies don't make any sense. It's literally just people treating me right. But it would be fun to just have a person, you know. A person you're like, when I get home, I can't wait to just have, like, full-on 30 minutes just listening to them talk to me and just narrate every single detail. And to have someone who's not really ashamed of making things very, very weird. Someone who's very respectful of everything that I believe in, and the fact that I believe in nothing and that they believe in something, and the whole clash. And I just want someone who's going to encourage me to want good for myself. And I want someone who would understand that I'm not looking for a positive all the time, and that them being in a negative space and seeking comfort in our friendship or relationship means so much to me, that it's okay for you to just be in a bad mental state, to just cry in my arms, and I just comfort you and tell you that I love you and that I'm here for you and that you deserve everything, and I'm just gonna give you everything that I can. You know, I just wanna hug someone and fully concentrate on where my hands are and where they would like my hands to be. I want to be held. No, actually, I just want to hold. I know it's so weird. I don't like people touching me. But I know that the moment I give or I offer physical intimacy, however it's going to be reciprocated to me, is going to be acceptable because I initiated it. I want to initiate. Oof, I want to initiate, I want to start, I want to invest, I want to be positive, I want to be daring and very smart and very articulate and very, I don't know, I want to be someone's fantasy. I want to be someone's go-to person, you know? Yeah. And, you know, I want to be with someone who we both know we don't waste time trying to say the right things or to say things that make sense. You know, I don't want to exhaust myself trying to explain what I mean, and I don't want them to exhaust themselves trying to speak the language that I understand. I just want us to be in the same headspace whenever we are together, and to understand when I say, let's just drive and go anywhere at this point, I don't care. And I want someone who's going to just like write me a very long letter that is full of nothing but with everything, you know, and just look at the words and be like, oh yeah, I just want to connect. Like, oh, I want to connect in a literature sense, you know. I just want to, yo, I want to meet a guy who I'm going to be like, I cannot believe he gave me a chance to date him. You know, I want to feel that. I've never felt that. For me, previously, it's been so easy to just be like, oh, there he is. Do I want to know him? Yes, let's know him and get to know him. And it feels like I didn't get any special access to a person. You know, I want to feel like I earned someone. I want to see someone be like, he or she is worth knowing and she's worth everything. I want them to give me access, whatever. I don't know. No, I keep thinking access denied. You can't say access accepted. That doesn't make any sense. I've forgotten the phrase, but I want to feel pride in knowing that I earned someone. You know, it's good to know that you've earned a prize. I want someone who is more than the prize. Someone who's going to make me feel like I'm the luckiest person alive. I want someone who's going to, you know, revive that sense of, oh, wow, you are such a good-ass person. Like, yeah. I really hope someday I would look at a guy and be like, he is above my standard, and I want to work to get to that standard where he will view me as a worthy person. And I already know my standards are very high, and it'll be lovely to hear someone say, I worked really hard for you to consider me as a worthy partner, and I'm glad that we got here. You know, I want us to earn each other. I want us to feel pride in having found or worked towards something and getting there together. You know, even though I don't feel attraction, or I don't desire love, I know that love is a good thing. You know, it's I call it a curse of being a writer, where I'm aware of every feeling around me. I'm aware of how I'm supposed to approach people with certain personalities, with certain emotions. I'm aware. I know what I'm supposed to do. I think growing up, or me being a mature person, is understanding that it's okay to want an emotion. It's okay for me to want intimacy from other people. And I guess now I'm just like, I'm accepting that in reality, love is not in store for me, you know? It's not the right time for me. I can tell. You know, when you see other people and you're like, I can see that you are in a right space to meet someone, and you're most likely to meet them right now. And I'm like one of those people who are going to find love when they're like 28. I'm not manifesting that for myself. I'm just saying it's it's very unlikely that I'm gonna meet someone. And I've accepted that reality, and it's okay. It's okay. It's really okay. I'm not rushing it. I think for now I'm just teaching myself that my youth is me accepting that there is a gap that needs to be filled up, but also there's so much work I need to put in on my own, and the independent side of me needs to be fulfilled. You know, I don't want to step in a relationship where I'm working two shifts at once. I'm trying to be available for another person and also be available for myself. Being available to yourself is very lonely. I am so lonely. God, I am so lonely. But not lonely in the ways of, oh, I wish someone was in my bed right now. I am, but like not in a, oh, I need to find someone right now so that this feeling passes by. No, I'm not in that headspace. The headspace I'm in is, where am I? Who am I right now? Okay, this just became very philosophical. I'm in a headspace where I'm looking at people who are my age, and they're getting all this access, or they have partners who they can call when they are miserable, or they have partners who are like, who turn up for them, who give them stuff, and who are emotionally invested in knowing them. And I'm watching, you know, I'm in that state where I'm watching, and it hurts. It hurts that I, it hurts that I will never be someone's first choice, especially in my teens, you know, before I turn 20, or even in my early 20s, I feel like I will be that person. And I am so jealous. Maybe jealous is a strong word, but maybe jealous is a fitting word. I'm jealous not in that I want what they have. I'm jealous in that no one is picking me, and I feel inadequate, like I'm not fitting off the standards of teenage dating or teenage relationship drama. Like, I'm accepting it, that it's not gonna come to me as stereotypical as it does for some people, you know. And I don't want to be like a pick me, or, you know, pick me, love me, choose me. I'm sorry, but I'm starting to realize that I will. Okay. I think I'm overthinking this. Okay, maybe if I explain where exactly I am, maybe the right words will come to me. So this, I went about like 15 minutes ago. Not 15, about 30 minutes ago. And I'm in my bed, and I'm just staring at my iPad. And I decided to just rant on about the fantasy that I had in my head. It was supposed to be a 5-minute thing, but it's now 20 minutes. And I've made it into a podcast episode because I haven't posted in my podcast in a while, and I thought it would be nice for me to share these moments where I'm very vulnerable and I'm evaluating things happening in my life. So I'm aware of what digital footprint is. I've put myself out there, and my kids or my grandkids, which will never happen because I'm not planning on having kids, but let's just say, hypothetically, right, my kids in the future are going to listen to this and try and understand who their parent was at my age. And I'm taking responsibility of knowing that my personality is going to build someone else out there. And I also like the idea of that I'm going to come back to these moments and be like, oh, listen, this has changed since you last made this episode. Like, this is really a personal journey for me, and me just evaluating everything that's happening in my life, so that, excuse me, so that when I grow up and I look back, it's something that I can learn from and, you know, all that. I need you to understand that's what's happening here. It's not a, I'm looking for attention or I'm seeking whatever it is that people say podcasters do. I am just having an intervention with myself and starting a conversation, especially for people who feel like not many people talk about this. And I know that because I don't have many friends who are interested to know about these things or to talk about emotions and wanting relationships and being where I am. So basically, I know a younger me would have loved to know that there's another person who feels this depth of loneliness and, you know, and it's not okay. It's not something I want to normalize, but it's happening. And we have to accept that it's there. It's a process. And eventually things might get better or not. And I'm in that state. So if... if you're looking for a person to comfort you, especially if you're going through the same thing, I want you to feel comforted. I want you to know it's okay. I'm also going through it. So yeah, you're in a safe space. So just don't feel pressured is what I'm saying. So that's the main goal of this episode. I want you to feel relaxed and accept that we are in this together. As weird as that sounds, we're okay. It's gonna be okay. Let's not rush it. Let's ease into it, because this is life. I mean, yeah, it either goes west or it goes east. What? Either goes north or it goes south. Whatever way it goes, it's gonna be okay. Ooh, look at me being a comfort character. That's beautiful. So... On with my rant. So a while ago, like a long time ago, I was having a conversation with my friend Tino, right? And I was talking to her about this thing where I'm trying to think if this is an appropriate space to talk about it, but at this point, like, I'm grown, bro. I don't care anymore. So I was talking about, you know, the stereotypical, I'm a convent student, right? And it's very common. No, it's a well-known fact that convent is associated with CPC, with Falcon, and with other Dominican schools. And my brother, about like 2 months ago, I was having a video chat with my brother, right? My first brother. And he was saying, what's your take on guys? Like, have you met people... have you currently met anyone from CBC or from Falcon or someone who you're interested in, right? And my response was, no, I haven't, you know, not, there's no guy that has mentally stimulated me. And I haven't had those conversations where, like, I'm hooked and I want to know a person. And he was like, oh, but I thought, like, you know, convent and GC and, you know, the whole, oh, I met a guy and he's from CPC and he texted and we've been talking and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I've never had that, right? And it passed. And then I had the conversation with Tino where I told her that I've romanticized that idea of meeting, let's say, a guy from CPC, right? And, wanting that drama and that attention and wanting to have people talk about us and our love story and how we met and how we developed and created something. And then I was like, I am so ashamed that I'm romanticizing that idea. And then as I was talking to her, she was like, maybe it's not the guy you're looking for. Maybe you want what that school represents as a whole. So basically she said you're attracted to the idea and not the person. And I was so, you know, I was so shocked that she was right, that I had romanticized the setting, the love story, and how fitting it would be and how entertaining it would be for other people and not myself. And I was like, oh, because like usually me and Tino have like these conversations, we call them lecture room conversations, where we really dig in deep as to why we are so emotionally connected to certain ideas. And it made me realize I'm lucky that I've already evaluated the topics of wanting male validation, where I want people to know that I can be approached by a high value man, you know, that someone who's a guy finds me attractive, that I'm conventionally attractive, that society deems me attractive and worth coming or approaching, right? And I'm still shocked that I'm still deconstructing that idea of male validation, because it's not the same as to wanting female attention or wanting a girlfriend, right? Oh, okay, this just took a turn, but I don't care at this point. But you see, when you want a girlfriend, I want a girlfriend who's going to look at me and think I'm their safe space, and I want to love them and embrace their femininity, even though I'm not as feminine. You know, it's the whole, I'm 100% emotionally invested in this. Like, it's so big, because I know if it goes south, I'm dying, because like breakups with girls just, oof, they are worse than a breakup with a guy, right? But then with the guys, when I think, oh yeah, I want to meet him or I want to date him, it's always about how people are going to view us in this relationship, not about what I'm bringing to the table and what he's bringing to the table and what we're willing to create. It's everything to do with people outside of the relationship that I'm looking forward to creating, which is a red flag to me, because it speaks that I want that male validation and that I still have that need in me to want a guy to be like, oh, you're worth it, you're worth the attention. And I don't want that. You know, I want the innocence of a relationship, or the innocence of a beginning. Oh, I wanted to write about the importance of a beginning in a relationship, the truthfulness of it all. You know, I realized that like some guys just don't get how important the first step into getting a relationship is. Was it based on a lie? Take for instance the After series, like, right? Haddon went for that girl, I've forgotten her name, I'm sorry, I didn't like that series, but he went for her as a bet, and that defeated the whole virgin pureness of a start of a relationship. And he didn't see it. He didn't see how important it was to have a clean slate to start on a very new and beautiful beginning, with no corruption, with no ill intentions. It is important. And honestly, I want that for myself. I want to start a truthful beginning, whatever that means. I want to start something without ill intentions, without, oh, I thought you were mean and, you know, now you're a nice person, so I thought I might as well. You know, that doesn't sound right. I want someone who's like, I thought you were mean and beautiful, and I was like, I want that. And I want to look at a guy and be like, I want to start something with you because I feel a genuine connection with you. No, and it's not going well because I keep romanticizing the wrong people, the wrong kind of guys. Not like the gangster kind of guys, like the genuine Zimbabwean boys who are just like guys, you know. But I don't want that. I don't want to feel bad. I don't want to defend people who I want. And now I've come to a point where if you want me, you want me. If you don't want me, you don't want me. And like, because my relationships are always platonic, I can't yeah, I prefer my relationships to be platonic, and then we consensually agree that we are now lovers. Not in a friends to lovers trope, but in a, that's genuinely how I feel. That's how I'm going to feel. Like, I'm going to feel platonic all the way. But the fact that we've both consented into being a romantic relationship, then that's how we're going to say it is. But yeah, I'm just a person who functions like that, I guess. And I guess I just, yeah, it's it's good to talk. It's good to talk, but in reality, it does suck. It sucks accepting that I will never be someone's first choice. I think I'm saying this for the second time. I want to know how it feels like to be someone's first choice, to be someone's first priority. It might sound stupid, but it's so important to me to know that I am someone's someone, you know? Not in a, I need to, I don't know, I don't want to defend this. Honestly, I just want to know what it feels like to be someone's priority, first priority, even as friends or as lovers. I genuinely don't care. At this point, I'm just focusing on satisfying my needs. And if they are not satisfied, we move, you know? It's not a nice attitude to have, but I'm too grown to be, to not be executing stuff and not going after what I want. And life is too precious to just keep everything in your head. As stupid as that sounds, but I want to be a person who's more outspoken and who's more accepting of how they feel at that moment. And yeah, I'm now daring. Like, I tell people I like them, and if they don't like me back, it's fine. We move, you know? However, it's not nice. I feel this dread whenever I think about wanting to be with people and knowing that I'm not a good emotional investment. Like, I know that if you want to be with me, like, there's nothing constructive that's going to come out of this. We're just going to be really good friends, and it's going to end there. And if that's the reality of real relationships out there, he's probably not going to understand what that even means. I want a person who's going to understand that a start is the end, whatever that means. So, in conclusion, what can I say to someone listening to this? Don't use what I've said as a weapon, or don't use what I've said to try and get me. You know, I'm gonna know that you listen to this as if it's a tool to date me. Please don't do that. That's stupid. Let's not do that. And if you listen to my fantasy and understood where I'm coming from, let's just say, if he comes along, the right guy, who makes you smile, who's very attractive, who you're attracted to, who just makes you want to want him, don't rush it. I don't mean, if you want him, if you want to hug him, don't wait for the appropriate time to make that hug. Just hug him. No one cares. You're the only one who feels it. Go for it. And the only way to know whether he feels the same way is what? Is execution. So execute that idea in your, or plan in your head, and just do it. No one cares, honestly. If he comes along, don't rush it. What? What I mean is, don't try to find the bad in your desire. Don't try to be shameful about what you want. If you want something, you want it. Accept it. It's okay to want him. It's okay to want her. It's okay to want them. Don't be shameful about your emotions. Don't be shameful about your desires. As long as they are appropriate desires. If you're lonely, ASMR is a good comfort. I'm comforted by ASMR. It's working. But at the end of the day, when I eat, when I go to bed, I'm like, shit, am I really that lonely that, like, I'm listening to audios to sleep so that, you know? Yeah, the whole shame. Just don't feel shame. Shame is a I wish my parents had taught me not to be ashamed of myself, because I'm really having a hard time accepting me for me without feeling any shame for desiring people, you know. It's a cruel world we live in, and don't waste your time being shameful. So if somehow the guy who's meant to be with me is listening to this, I'm a child. I'm joking. I'm not a child, but I don't know. I don't know. I don't want you to come to me with a fixed plan. You know, I want us to take life in as it is and just move, you know. Because that's what I'm doing. Mostly because I'm mentally ill and I need help. But don't listen to this. But you've already listened to this. If you already got into this part, I don't know. I'm learning not to be shameful about me. So if you're going to come to me without shame. Okay, I'm straying. I'm sorry. I always find a reason to ruin a moment. If we were having a moment, hold on to that feeling, because like my head is always going to be like, ugh, that's so cringe, let's move. But yeah. I think love is beautiful, and wanting love is honest, and any feeling that's honest is worth sharing. So be daring, be confident, go after what you want, tell the people that you love them, and just take life in and out and breathe through it and embrace your thoughts and embrace your words. If you want to write about him or her or them, write. If you want to sing, sing, paint, paint. It's okay to love. Don't be ashamed by it. It's okay to fantasize, because he's not here now, but he's coming. He's on his way. Don't rush him. When the moment is right, it's right. And embrace that you're alone now, and embrace that want and that desire within you. Build it up, not in agony, but in acceptance. And prepare yourself to share that with someone. Because trust me, the way you love is something worth fighting for. And someone is waiting for you to love them and to appreciate them, so that they do the same for you. And if you're lucky to find that someone when we're both 18, well, good luck. It's not going to be easy. Relationships are very ridiculous, but yeah, it's going to be fine. Enjoy the process. And if he leaves, he left, find yourself and rebuild yourself. It's okay. We still have time. Except if you die, then that's sad. But yeah, it's okay. It's going to be okay. I'm comforting myself because I am very lonely right now, and it would be nice if someone called me and said, oh yeah, good night, go to bed, and I'll be like, yeah, but yeah, it's okay. I think I'm okay. I'm okay. Bye.